No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
The proud defender of the American dream, Rick Smith.
Since the prehistoric ages and the days of ancient Greece, walked down to the Middle Ages, planet Earth kept going through changes, and then the Renaissance came. The times continue to change, nothing stayed the same, but there were always renegades.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So interesting day today as Junior evidently was testifying. He was answering some questions in front of the House Intelligence Committee. Asked about a conversation between he and his father and, well, attorney-client privilege. No, I can't. I won't answer. I won't tell you. And I got to tell you, it's just every day another step closer to the truth. And here to talk about what's going on, I've asked Scott Dworkin to come talk with us. Scott, thanks for taking time for us.
Doing great. It's a sad day for our country, as always, while he's in power. But it's chugging along, and every day it gets a little bit better.
Yeah, the reality is, I think with Flynn, taking the deal, I think now a lot of what we suspected is going to come forth, and now you've got a whistleblower who's come out and said that, you know, Flynn wanted the sanctions with Russia ripped up. And, you know, I think now we're going to start really getting to the bottom of what this insanity's been.
Right. Now, it's definitely kind of crazy that, you know, in my wildest dreams, the furthest that I got along with it, and I was just talking to Joy Reid from MSNBC a second ago about this, it's a year ago from today that we started talking really publicly about this whole Russia scandal. And I remember people laughing in my face in DC saying that this is never going to be investigated. Like, you know, outside of the intelligence agencies, they're going to have things in private. And then you meet with a member of Congress or their staff, and then you keep on doing that and pushing, but you show them just facts. Here's photos, here's videos, here's documents. And you just give that to them. And after a while, it's led now to this, which I could never have imagined this. And I could never have imagined this far of a conspiracy and also this clear of a paper trail and combined with the media being able to spell out clearly to the American public what they're uncovering, because it's supposed to be complex because it's a criminal conspiracy.
Yeah, no, but here's the thing. I mean, Trump's not doing himself any good by continually tweeting stuff out and by continually poking at the hornet's nest, if you will. Because look, I remember being at the RNC convention and the DNC conventions last year, and this Russia thing was there. I mean, at the RNC convention, it was under the radar. People were talking about, but by the time I got to the DNC, this was the open secret that there was stuff going on. Now look, it took a while before the mainstream media picked up on it, but this is not new to me anyway. Right. We knew about it over the summer, and the frustrating thing is this guy still got elected.
Right. It was definitely mind-boggling. I think we were stretched so thin on so many fronts because there were so many scandals. It was hard to see what to actually focus on. I know that you know, we would dig into parts of the Russia investigation and we get pulled off because, you know, the Access Hollywood tape came out, or so we were looking for things that had parity to that. It really was a case of like, what are we supposed to focus on today? And a lot of times he controlled that message through Twitter.
And still does, I would argue.
Yeah, yeah. And so we got to play not really defense. We just have to be prepared for 50 different situations and then be able to respond based on, you know, how he tries to guide the messaging.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, every day seems to be another what, and I would think any other politician, any other administration would be, you know, massive scandal. Every day we've got, you know, some just guffaw or some bizarre statement or some bizarre behavior to where, you know, look, any other point in our history would have just been kind of been crazy in the end. This is, I mean, I think we're almost getting to the point where this is normal.
Yeah, did you happen to see his speech today about the Jerusalem announcement?
Yeah.
He got close to the end. And he was like, United States. And he was mumbling throughout the entire time. And I can see that he's tired. He's definitely frustrated. And, you know, we hear that he's still going on rants about how he wants to fire Mueller and he wants to you know, get rid of this whole Russia cloud that's over him. And he even tells his own staff that, you know, there's nothing there. He denies this to everybody, you know, he knows. And he said also that the back end is he keeps on making it clear that it's going to be over soon. And I don't know anything more of a lie than that, but I think it may make people want to stay. And that's why they started spreading that. But the disinformation, I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I'm not sure if you have. I mean, this is, if we had one of these scandals with Obama, he probably would have had to resign.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I got to be honest, and I've said this probably 1,000 times. I never thought in my lifetime, and look, I'm 50 years old. I never thought in my lifetime that you would have an administration that, decidedly pro-Russian, decidedly pro-pedophile. I'm going, one of them bad, but both? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, the Roy Moore stuff is just, it's crazy. And we've done some work down there. We sent we have a few billboards up there. One is a pro Doug Jones billboard that, it says this is the kind of leader that you deserve, integrity, honesty, leadership, something like that. And the other one is a picture of Roy Moore, and it says, "Thou shalt not cover thy neighbor's daughter." Yeah. That's all it says. But it's a very dark photo. And, I hate going and playing in the mud, but, I don't really feel bad for it, because what I feel bad for is the women who are attacked daily, which not only is attacking them, but every woman who's a victim of sexual assault. And it muddies everything that they're saying, just muddies the whole process in regards to them getting out there and, seeing if a story is credible or not. They're already being deciphered for every word that they're saying. They already are being ripped apart before they even step out there to say anything. So there's enough pressure with that. And if what they're saying isn't true, that will eventually come out. But if someone's going to step forward and say something, we're going to give them a voice. And I think that's going to be clear from the Democratic Party. Unfortunately, there were things that happened that led to Franken's demise, and he's resigning tomorrow. But I say a new start, and I think we should flush out every sexual predator, especially not just, Roy Moore, if he were to be elected, but Donald Trump. And I think that it's bogus, and it's just if they don't want to take down Trump in regards to what he's done and his sex crimes and his accusers, they don't want to give justice to that. There's no justice in any of this. None of this can go anywhere.
Right. And not just Trump. I mean, you've got a guy sitting on the Supreme Court, long history of it as well. But he's still sitting there, and you're going to have Trump sitting in the White House, and you're going to have. Look, I thought at the minimum we were as a nation, we were anti-pedophile. I mean, look, I've across the political spectrum. I've talked to people who said, if a 30-year-old guy came knocking on your daughter, knocking on your door to come hit on your 15-year-old daughter, what would you do? And to a T, man, woman, it didn't matter. I would grab him by the neck and I would strangle him. And I'm going, okay, now imagine that you're being asked to vote for them in the U.S. Senate. And every person that I speak face to face to, they say, no, they couldn't. Yet it's 50-50 down in Alabama, where it's a flip of a coin whether he's going to win or not.
Yeah, it's really, I haven't, I mean, I've looked at the different polls and whatnot. We haven't specifically polled the race. My experience in Southern races, I've done like over 1,000 campaigns in the past 12 years in all 50 states. And in Bama, it's really, it comes down to making sure that you drive out your base, just like any other Southern state. But this is going to be hard, because it's just, the rules are made to oppress Democrats down there. And, people aren't going to be able to have the time to vote, or they didn't do it right. I mean, there's going to be a lot of different things like that. I think when it comes down to it, I think that we're lucky it's this close.
Yeah. And look, as I said earlier, in close races, I think the Republicans have masterfully created an environment where they could easily steal these elections. And I hate sounding conspiratorial. And the reason I say stealing them is they've done a lot with, voter suppression, caging, cross check. You throw all of these things out there. And even if you're just stealing a small number of votes in a close race, that really matters.
Just like what the Russians did. They do it in chip by chip and slight by slight. They do it right in front of your face. And there's nothing you can do about it, because it's law.
But what do you say to the person who says, Scott, that, well, the Russians didn't, I don't care what they said, the Russians didn't influence my vote. What do you say to that person? Because, look, I believe there's a lot here, but I know a lot of people who are saying, you know what, I was voting for Trump no matter what. I would never vote for that woman.
If Trump influenced your vote, then a Russian influenced your vote. And that's how I think about it.
Okay.
Because I think of his Twitter. I think this will come out. And I was looking at this the other day. There's a photo. I was picking on him for not tweeting, and he's never shown, you know, with a photo or a video of him tweeting. And then literally it was like a day later, he posted this photo of him tweeting, but he was using his pointer, like, finger. And then I was like, that's really weird for, I mean, thumbs to thumb is how I would think that anybody would be tweeting that has been doing it for a while.
Right.
So I still challenge him, like, you know, I would love to see you tweet. And I'm not trying to give him deniability, because I think that any politician, if it's your account, you're responsible for every word that comes out of that account personally, no matter who the staff is, you know, what's happening. You hire those people for a reason, and they're your voice. So do I believe that he's sending out videos? Absolutely not. Do I think that he has the brain power to send these tweets? I'm doubting it more and more, sadly. And thinking about it, it would be the best sort of propaganda tool. And wouldn't it be funny if the whole thing, the biggest scam of all, besides himself just in general, was he didn't tweet at all. And it was all tested words to inflame people, combined with, you know, changing, making intentional mistakes, you know, where there's a period left off or covfefe or something weird that's been even tested through Cambridge Analytica. And these are things that, as crazy or conspiratorial they may seem, it's not that crazy in the grand scheme of what we know already.
No.
And so I'm just looking forward to see what we actually don't know, because here's the thing that I always say, is that if you are a Russian, do you have spy gear? Yes, absolutely. Okay. What kind of meetings would you use spy gear for? Exactly what these Don Jr. and other meetings would be for, so that you can say, it doesn't have to be a P tape or anything like that. It could be Don Jr. on video or audio saying, yeah, we'll lift sanctions if we win. Like, that's all it takes for him to hang that over Trump's head and be like, well, you know, I've got this, and it really doesn't have to be that complex. So, you know, if someone thinks that they weren't affected for their vote, then they would have had to, you know, live with their head in the sand. It really, really, if you paid attention to Trump's Twitter feed, from the influence he had with Putin and from the Russian government, I believe him to be, you know, his Twitter feed especially, a Russian asset.
Wow. And look, I mean, the other day you had his lawyer come out and say, no, that was me tweeting that at him. And it was really the first time that I had said, you know, all of that could be possible, because there was part of me that goes, Trump is such a control freak that he wouldn't let anybody do anything for him. But I also have a hard time with a 70-year-old guy, you know, doing the one finger peck and hunt and peck on a smartphone.
Right. It's definitely confusing to me. Yeah. And then also just having the thought of just knowing, you know, in regards to his background and everything I've studied, it's very clear that he uses paper, and he likes to write things down. So I wouldn't be surprised if he will tweet things by writing things onto a piece of paper and then somebody else tweeting it out.
And Barron comes in and tweets it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, there was a gigantic process that Barack Obama had when he was president. I love saying that out loud. When he was president, there was a gigantic process that he had where it went through intelligence agencies, the State Department, for the most basic of tweets, no matter, or on Facebook or anywhere. Before they posted everything, before you gave a speech, they were careful about every word, or else you have things break out in Jordan and Turkey and the West Bank and Gaza, like tonight, where people are, you know, not rioting, but they are protesting, and hopefully it doesn't get violent, but that's directly sparked from the president of the United States.
Yeah. And look, I don't see the benefit of moving from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. But again, this is one of those, we're talking to the base, to the evangelicals, to the far out folks. Let me ask you this. Friday, evidently we're hitting a deadline. There's a possibility of a government shutdown. Someone had asked if this is, you know, maybe by design, is it possible that a government shutdown would somehow stall the Mueller investigation? Is that possible?
No, I don't think. I think it's independently funded from that. So I think it has special circumstances. I know that regarding the shutdown, Trump did say, it was I think reported by the Washington Post or New York Times, that he did say that it would be politically beneficial for him if the government did shut down. And then I'm thinking again in a, and this is again, sound, this sounds really conspiratorial, but it's like, well, what would Putin like more, you know, than the U.S. government to shut down? So I just go back to the more simple kind of answer. And it's like, he's under control by this guy. The only person he seems to listen to is Putin. So even if he thinks of him as an advisor, you know, I think that we're in a lot of trouble here because, but at the end of the day, I don't think it'll happen because I think Republicans won't let him drive him into the ditch. Because if the government does shut down, I don't think that that's going to be something that's forgivable. And it combined with healthcare, the tax bill, and everything else that's going on right now, you know, I'd say that's the end of their party. I mean, you know, they still have money and they'd have organization, they just wouldn't have people.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I used to think all that stuff too, and I used to think that, you know, if you backed a pedophile, it was over. Every day they keep surprising me, and they keep reaching a new low, to where I go, wow, I didn't realize you could get that low.
I stopped saying it now.
Last question I've got for you: what in the coming days and weeks, what are you paying attention to with the Mueller investigation? Because the hope is that there are more perp walks and we climb higher up the food chain, and eventually Junior and Jared and the rest of them, we have a special wing in a prison somewhere for them. What are you paying attention to? What are you watching?
I would guess that there's going to be a very gigantic boot or shoe or whatever you want to, something big is going to drop when there's 10 to 15 indictments at once. People that they think would be flight risks, so that'd be, you know, Don Jr., Jared, Sater, Michael Cohen, people like that. And then I think there will also be, you know, around 20 or 30 names that people haven't heard yet that were major players. And there will be areas worldwide that we weren't aware that things were going on, like Hungary, which would be a kind of like a middle stopping point, also in Prague. And then the fact that the dossier will be most likely confirmed soon as mostly being true and being credible, you know, and the fact that Christopher Steele will eventually come out publicly, and the fact that it's a 35-page summary. There's, I think, thousands, if not hundreds of pages of actual notes. So that's just a summary that we got in that whole dossier. So I think when these things kind of stack out there, Mueller's kind of cornered Trump now. So my guess is that we have about 2 months until he resigns in a forced sort of way, where it's like, here's the indictment we're going to build against you. And there's some sort of deal where, you know, he gives up information to figure out so that the intelligencies can clean up the mess and figure out what the heck we do next to protect elections in 2018.
And we end up with Mike Pence, and the hope is that there's enough to take him out as well, especially when you look at all the stuff that's going on between with Flynn and Pence and all that stuff. And it's a conversation for another day. Scott, great talking with you. I wish you'd come back and talk to us again often. Good stuff, man.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Scott Dworkin. And again, you want to check out some of his stuff, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com. You can check out his Twitter feed. Great. I highly suggest follow him on Twitter. Important stuff. Quick break. Right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
There's a war going on now. And they blame it on you and me. Talk about safety, freedom, democracy.